Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into Duval Daily, presented by JenJag.com. I'm Jordan DeLugo. Thanks so much for tuning in here today on Tuesday, April 2nd. Hopefully you all survived April Fool's Day without any major scares. But the Jaguars here, we're talking about another top 30 visit. Another year, another linebacker drafted by Trent Baalke in these Jacksonville Jaguars. It does seem like a strong possibility, off-ball linebacker. According to Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network, the Jaguars are having a top 30 visit with Oregon linebacker Jamal Hill. We know top 30 visits aren't necessarily indicative of a player that they will end up selecting, but it shows you that there is interest there. It shows you that the Jaguars are interested in another off-ball linebacker, which should come as no surprise. We know Trent Baalke loves off-ball linebackers. We know he has grossly overinvested at that position during his time in Jacksonville. From a team-building perspective, another off-ball linebacker is really probably the last thing the Jaguars need. But because I want to talk to you guys about as many of these top 30 visit guys as I can and kind of provide a picture of how they performed in college, what they could potentially do for the Jaguars, the fit and all that good stuff, we're going to talk about Jamal Hill here today, the Oregon linebacker. If you enjoy the content here, please like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. You can also check out jenjag.com/shop, pick up some new Duval gear like the hat I'm wearing right now. Just got these in. If you're interested, again, jenjag.com/shop really helps support this channel. That's the easiest way, besides just watching these videos, to support the channel. Also get some fun, cool Duval gear. So I'm running through as many of these 30 visits as I can for y'all prior to the draft, which is now less than a month away. About 3 weeks away, 3 weeks from this Thursday, wild stuff. But we're going to go ahead and get into it here again. Oregon linebacker Jamal Hill listed at 6 foot, 226 pounds. I'm not sure of his age. He was at Oregon for 5 seasons, so probably at least 22. Most likely, I think he's a 23-year-old, so that would be a little bit of an older prospect, which is not a huge knock on a player, but something to keep in mind to be sure, and more of a bigger deal when you're talking about super early round guys. I haven't heard anybody talk about Jamal Hill in this draft cycle, so I don't necessarily think that that's going to be something you're really concerned with at this point. Definitely don't think he's coming off the board on the first couple days of the draft, right? But at his pro day, 216 pounds, so was a little lighter than his listed weight. I would guess that that's because he wanted to run fast, and he did run very fast. We're going to talk about that. But to me, watching him on tape, he looks like he plays somewhere around 220 pounds. 78 3/4 inch wingspan, which is very good at the linebacker position. So despite being only 6 feet tall, he has very good length. And that's something that you value as a linebacker, because length helps you disrupt passing lanes. It helps you in the tackling department. It helps you shed blocks. So you like that he has good length. And really, I love a guy that has, you know, not the most height, but really good length. I like it when you have proportional length, because at 6 feet, he can be a little bit of a harder target for linemen and space blockers to get out and hit, right? But he ran a 4.41 40-yard dash. Absolutely flying. I mean, that is a fast linebacker. That's about as fast as they come in the linebacker position, right? 33-inch vertical, which is pretty good. Nothing crazy. 10-1 broad, very good. So this is an explosive, fast linebacker with very, very good length. Now, if the Jaguars are going to target him because of the construction of their current roster, he's got to play special teams. And wouldn't you know it, he absolutely does. Over 500 special teams reps in his career. He's played a ton of special teams. So that checks that box. But checking the tape on the defensive side of the ball here for Jamal Hill. He was asked to blitz a fair amount. Good stuff there. I think you like to see a guy that has experience blitzing off the edge, blitzing up the middle, asked to do a lot as a blitzer and did it at a high level. You know, he had over 13 pressures on about 57 pass rush snaps, again, blitzing snaps, a couple sacks as well. So I think you like his ability to be a blitzer, you know, has that speed to get in the backfield in a flash. He's comfortable in space as a zone coverage player. I think diagnosing what the passing attack is trying to do against him, against his zone, he's clean in that regard. He's smart. You can see the processing, the diagnosis. I've seen him close a lot of windows. Like, I've seen him take away a deep over. And then also, right as soon as he knows he's taken that away, as soon as the quarterback's eyes shift, you know, come down and deny the underneath route as well. So I've seen some really good coverage reps from Jamal Hill. He can cover and man coverage as well. I've seen him cover slots. I've seen him cover tight ends, running backs. They're not able to create separation because he's got quickness. He's got speed. He's got length. He's got diagnosis skills. So, and he understands leverage as well in coverage. So I think you're seeing a really impressive coverage player. I don't really worry about his lack of size at all. Again, very good length. He plays strong. You don't see him like getting bullied like some small off-ball linebacker. He'll take on linemen, he'll scrap with them, and he'll usually be able to shed blocks after not too long. Now, the big question here for me that I continuously see, instincts and diagnosis against the run are very inconsistent. He oftentimes kind of gets lost in the shuffle, not showing good vision or awareness of where the ball carrier is. So physically, I don't have any issues with him as a run defender, but I think it's the diagnosis and the instincts and the vision. Sometimes when he goes to take on blocks, he'll lose sight of where the ball carrier is. And even though he could have put himself in a good position physically, he's not able to because whether it's diagnosis or vision, what have you, he's just not able to make the play.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So I think that is a bit of an issue when you talk about his projection to the next level. But he is a consistent tackler. When he's able to locate the ball and fly downhill or fly sideline to sideline, he is a very consistent tackler. So it's not as if this is a guy that's just going to miss too many tackles. It's the fact that sometimes he doesn't get where he needs to in these run fits, right? So what is the fit, the projection to the next level? In my opinion, this is a sub-package linebacker right now who, again, has a ton of experience in college. He can run. He can cover in man or zone coverage. He can blitz at a high level. He can tackle. He can play special teams. What he cannot do, in my opinion, is be a base-down linebacker, a three-down linebacker, because of, again, the inconsistency in fitting the run, diagnosing where the ball carrier is, and carrying out those assignments. And again, as a guy with as much experience as he has, you would like to see a little bit more consistency and efficiency in that regard. So I don't think it's like, well, this guy's only 20 years old. He doesn't have a lot of experience. Maybe we can project and coach him up to be a much better run defender. And maybe they can. I'm not saying it's impossible, but when you're talking about playing the odds, when you're talking about projecting, a player who has as much experience as him and still struggles to fit the run at times, struggles with the vision or diagnosis, whatever it is, you start to feel like, okay, maybe this is just what we have. Maybe this is what we're working with, which is, again, why I project him as a sub-package linebacker who can do a lot for you in those sub-packages. Usually a sub-package linebacker for me is going to be pretty low on the totem pole because the linebacker position devalued in general, and then the fact that you're not able to rely on him as a three-down player, that lowers the value as well. But in this passing league, in this, era of defense where you talk about more positionless football, I have a fourth round grade on him because I think he can be a truly elite sub-package backer. Again, a guy who can cover in man or zone coverage against, in man coverage against some slots, against pretty much every tight end and running back that you could think of. And then in zone coverage shows great instincts. It's just the diagnosis, the execution against the run leaves a lot to be desired. But when he gets to the ball, he tackles. Very good tackler. So I think he could be a difference maker in a sub-package role as like a coverage linebacker, as a guy that you want on the field in clear passing situations, and as a guy that you can use in other situations as long as you're not asking him to diagnose and be the main guy fitting against runs, right? I think a good opposing offense, if he's on the field consistently against the run, they're going to find ways to attack where he's supposed to be, and you're going to end up having some issues there. So again, a sub-package player, but a difference maker in that role. So for me, that's like an early day three type of guy because of the traits he has, the coverage chops he has, the ability to play special teams, the ability to tackle in space. I like the player a lot, just don't think he's going to be a good run defender at the next level. But again, it comes down to roster building for Trent Baalke and these Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't get it. You don't need another linebacker. You just re-signed Foye Aluken, right? He's going to be under contract for at least the next 3 seasons, I would guess. At the very minimum, because you love the guy. He's one of your best players. He's a team leader, captain, one of the best players on either sides of the ball for the Jaguars, playing at an extremely high level at off-ball linebacker. You have traded up for Devin Lloyd, who is under contract through at least 2025. You have control of his contract through 2026 as well as a former first-round pick with the fifth-year option. You have Chad Muma, who you drafted in the third round that same year, under contract through 2025. You drafted Ventrell Miller last year. He is under contract through 2027, right? And then you talk about, or maybe 2026. Yeah, 2026, excuse me. Then you talk about, you just brought Caleb Johnson back, who is kind of that special teams linebacker for you. I would not understand drafting another linebacker. I really wouldn't. But it wouldn't surprise me one bit if Trent Baalke wants to draft another linebacker. Because that's what he does. He drafts linebackers every single year. He just really overvalues that position, in my opinion. And I get the special teams value. I get the idea that they can make a big impact in this league. But when you talk about who you already have, who you've already invested in, how are you going to invest in another linebacker, in my opinion? Again, I do like the fit as a sub-package player, as a guy who can play special teams. I like this prospect as a role player at the next level. I don't think he's a starter, again, because he doesn't have that three-down skill set. But if they're going to draft a linebacker on day three, which they probably are, I think they could do a lot worse than Jamal Hill, because he can come in and play a role for you, special teams, sub-package coverage backer who can also blitz at a high level and does not miss tackles. So that's kind of how I view this thing. Again, I'm against drafting another linebacker, but if they're going to do it, this is not a bad idea, as long as you're not projecting him forward as a future starter, as long as you're not over-drafting him. But if you're drafting him on day three, again, I'm not fine with it because you shouldn't be drafting a linebacker, but I am fine with the value that he provides overall. So from a team building standpoint, no. From a player evaluation and fit standpoint, sure. Really appreciate y'all tuning in. If you enjoy the content, please like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. You can also check out jinjag.com again. Pick up some new Duval gear like the hat I'm wearing right now. I'm going to be traveling to Denver later today, so the videos that we're going to be producing the rest of the week aren't going to be like graphic heavy or anything like that. Just won't have a lot of time, but I'm still going to get some content out for you guys. Again, really appreciate your support. Appreciate you tuning in all the time. Y'all have a good one.